right, this is DC Talk, and we are back with another special because we just feel like you cannot get enough of us. So we are back with another special here, and we're going to be looking at, this is episode 85, and we're going to be looking at another movie. And the movie we're going to be looking at this time is, I can't remember the name of the movie, The Kitchen. From 2019. It is a Vertigo Comics movie, and we'll get a little bit more about that here in just a little bit. But I cannot talk about this movie alone because that would be a very empty kitchen. So to have some help in the kitchen, I have with me Gary. What's going on?
What are you trying to say, dude?
No, I just need help in the kitchen. Whether we're talking about Hell's Kitchen or whether we're talking about, like, kitchen to make food. Isn't that what isn't that this movie we're watching? Isn't it a baking movie?
No, it's definitely not a baking movie.
Crap, I watched the wrong one.
Mike, you're fired.
I have been fired so many
times. I don't even need Tim to fire you. I can just fire you myself.
That's true. That is true. Well, Carrie, how are you feeling today?
I'm getting over a cold, as you can probably tell from my currently sexy voice here, and yeah, it's been fun.
Well, we hope you get over it soon, and and get back to doing what you love to do. And because this is special, we really don't want to kind of go into all the other stuff we normally talk about at the beginning. But I will say, you can find me on Twitter at the DC Fanboy. And Carrie, where can our peeps find you?
You can find me at Carrie Blackfire 42. That's K-E-R-I Blackfire 42.
And like always, you can find our network at randomchatter.com or on Twitter at randomchatter. So we're going to go ahead and get started with our next special. And as we talk about The Kitchen, for those who don't remember, when we did our last special, we did it on the movie V for Vendetta, which I really enjoyed that movie. It is a Vertigo. It's a Vertigo comic.
He enjoyed it so much he forgot which movie it was. Guys,
I know. Listen. No, I'm just kidding.
Really?
Vertigo comics.
You
want to
go there?
No, I really don't because I'm scared. Vertigo comics is kind of the rated R.
It was the more mature.
Right. It's more of like your rated R out there.
Yeah.
You know, no holds bars, cutting edge, kind of a dark side of the DC Comics line.
Yeah, it's what the Black Label is now.
Right.
Or it predates the Black Label.
Until it was dismissed back in 2020. The last issue came out actually a couple weeks ago, and that's the final Vertigo Comics. So this is along the same lines as V for Vendetta was published under Vertigo Comics, the movie. There's only actually three movies that were made that come from the Vertigo Comics line. One is V for Vendetta, the other one is The Kitchen, which we're going to talk about here in a second, and the third one is The Losers, which we haven't watched yet, but we may talk about sometime in the future.
Constantine was also a Vertigo comic.
Was that a... Oh, then that's missing on the website.
We did Constantine with Cape Chronicles, but
right.
it was a DC Vertigo comic.
Okay. It was kind of a superhero-ish one.
I'm sorry?
It said it kind of was a superhero-ish one.
Yeah.
Whereas V for Vendetta and The Kitchen have
they're not really superheroes.
Right, they're not really superheroes, so yeah. I think that's kind of why we didn't put them in there, but yeah, okay, because see, when I think of Constantine, I think of, like, Zatanna a lot.
Zatanna?
Zatanna.
Oh, no, because Hellblazer, which is what Constantine started out under, Preacher, Sandman, all of those were DC Vertigo.
Yeah. So, but this is a Vertigo Comics. So just kind of give you a heads up what's going on. Just kind of give it does come from a graphic novel. It was a limited series. It was published by Vertigo in 2015. It was written by Ollie Masters and had the art was done by Ming Doyle. It tells a story of three mob wives in 1970s Hell's Kitchen who become engrossed in the world of crime themselves. So that's just a little bit about the graphic novel, and you're kind of going to see that in the movie.
Yeah.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So. All right, so a bit of information on the movie itself. Again, three wives of New York gangsters in Hell's Kitchen in the 1970s continued to operate their husbands' rackets after the aforementioned husbands are locked up in prison. This was released in 2019, so last year. It grossed $15.9 million worldwide. Ouch.
It did not do well.
This is sad. It's so sad because this movie is really good. let's see. It was directed by Andrea Berloff, who was a writer for Legend of Conan, Straight Out of Compton, and World Trade Center. Okay. It stars Melissa McCarthy as Kathy Brennan, also known as Sookie, from Gilmore Girls, Tammy from, I guess, the movie Tammy.
Yeah.
Molly from Mike and Molly, and Abby from the all-female Ghostbusters movie. Tiffany Haddish plays Ruby O'Carroll. She was Keanu in High C. She was High C in Keanu. Jess in Uncle Drew. Carrie in Night School. And Mia in Like a Boss. Elizabeth Moss plays Clara Walsh. She was Peggy in Mad Men and June in Handmaid's Tale. Donald Gleason plays Gabriel O'Malley. If you don't know who he is, guys, I mean, he's only General Hux and Bill Weasley.
That's right, two of the biggest franchises in the world.
Yeah. And let's just put that into context. They put a Weasley in charge of the First Order, guys.
And they made a Weasley a hitman.
they made a Weasley a hitman. Well, also, I mean, his dad is Brendan Gleeson, and Brendan Gleeson, if you haven't seen, you know, Braveheart or
such a good movie,
or I mean, he was Mad-Eye Moody in Harry Potter, but yeah. I mean, his dad is also amazing. Mm. Let's see. Margot Martindale played Helen O'Carroll. She was in Meet the Millers, and she is currently the voice of Ma Beagle on DuckTales.
Ah, cool.
Mm-hmm. And then Common played Agent Gary Silvers. He was Cassian in John Wick 2.
Okay.
Not Cassian Andor in Rogue One. This is John Wick 2. And he was Elam Ferguson in Hell on Wheels.
Okay.
For Rotten Tomatoes scores, it has a 23% critic score on Rotten Tomatoes and a 69% audience score. The audience clearly knows what it's talking about, I think.
Okay. We can get that here in a little bit. So, yeah. Where would you like to start then, Carrie?
I'd like to start with your first note. Oh, Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, for some reason,
like it just clicked with you. Well, that's what the movie was about.
It kind of did, because going in, I had no idea what was going on about with the movie, but it also was because because the only time I ever really got to see Hell's Kitchen is in the 2000s with Daredevil and Luke Cage and all that area. So to see it back in the 70s was pretty cool to me. That's what I was like. I was like the whole time I was looking for like a boxing studio, just because my mind thought Daredevil.
Uh huh.
So that's kind of why it's.
I mean, Matt Murdock is Irish.
Right, but that's also Marvel,
But we digress.
Right. So that's kind of why it just kind of threw me for a loop. I was like, oh, so I had to get my mind kind of shifted back. This is DC stuff, not Marvel. So
yeah, so the name of the movie did not mean anything to him until he saw that it was actually taking place in Hell's Kitchen,
right?
In the 70s.
And look, I'll just be absolutely honest. I had no idea why they named it the kitchen, until I found out it was in Hell's Kitchen. I'm like, okay, I get it now.
Uh-huh.
I guess I'm honest, not gonna try to make up some crap.
No, I understand. It's okay, Mike.
Okay. Carrie's patting my head right now.
I'm trying to pat him on the head right now. It's very cute.
Oh,
you should not make me laugh.
So do we? Okay. No, we'll talk about that in a second. So the husbands get arrested.
Yep.
And there's three extremely different attitudes in the women when their husbands get convicted.
Well, I mean, that I think it's a reflection of the three different households. I mean, Kathy's family is pretty much, you know, they're all, except for the fact that her husband is in the mob, they're, you know, kind of act like a upstanding family.
Right.
Claire's husband beats her.
Yes.
So there's a lot of relief when he gets put away. And Ruby's husband and mother-in-law treat her like crap.
Right.
So there's also some relief there when he gets put away.
And a lot of the reason they treat her like crap though is the whole racism issue and this time.
Yeah.
Because it
is definitely.
In 1978. Because I can't remember what did the police officer say when they arrested her husband. I can't remember. Anyways, it was something very racist. So it kind of puts you right there in the
racist,
scene.
Yeah.
Of, you know, and you know, let's just put it out there what it is. If you're not Irish, or you weren't Italian, or you weren't pretty much a white American at that time, in this movie, you mm-hmm. were treated horribly, like she was in this movie. And for her to do what she did at the end of the movie speaks volumes to the amount of thinking she had to do and planning she did, and we'll get into that here after a while. And I understood the reasoning and the logic is behind why she did what she did.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, very different attitudes. Very different attitudes. Mm-hmm. Even at the court hearing, you could definitely tell there were different attitudes. One was like, okay, fine. You know, Claire was like, sure, get him out of here. He's locked up for 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, she was, like I said, she was relieved, and
right,
because that means that she has 3 years to figure out how she's going to, you know, either get out of Hell's Kitchen or survive, or get to a place where she can survive on her own and not have to worry about him.
Right. And the first issue came up with, you know, obviously the mom said, you know, we're going to take care of you because you're husband's. Mm-hmm. And when they start getting their envelopes, they realize we can't live off of this,
right?
And so that's when they begin their whole thing. Was, you know what? Nobody protects anybody. Nobody collects. Let's handle it. Mm-hmm. It's so interesting to see them from the first meeting together,
mm-hmm.
with little Jackie,
uh huh,
to where they stood midway through the movie.
Oh yeah, definitely.
So that was really good.
Well, and I mean, for Kathy's outlook is, you know, this is community, and it's like, yeah, she says by the end that, you know, she's doing this for herself, but in doing this for herself, she's also doing it for the community. It's like, you know, when they start asking questions of all the people that have been paying protection money and not getting crap from the rest of you know, little Jackie and his crew, and Kathy's like, you know, I'll send the kids over to go clean up that graffiti. I'll help you get this person licensed, a beautician's license. We'll help out. We'll help out here and there, and, you know, you give us something, we give you something. And the we give you something in return for what they were it was clearly not happening.
Right.
And this is what got fixed. And when everything started working as a cohesive organism, that's when they started raking in the dough.
Right. And they started treating them like a family rather than just business consultants.
Oh, yeah.
So it became an interesting movie. As my notes probably show, I could see where my mind was going as the movie was developing and evolving. Mm-hmm. Like attitudes started changing. So the first thing I've got is, you know, how to chop up a person 101. When they finally start putting their feet out there to say we're going to start collecting money, and we're going to start offering protection, they go get Gabriel.
Well. Ruby calls in Gabriel, and Gabriel just happens to be there when little Jackie tries to rape Claire, and right. that's when they have to do the, you know, how to chop up a person 101, how to get rid of a body 101.
He's like, put the knife in, make sure it goes all the way under the tender or under the tendon under the knee. That makes you turn it and pull it up. I'm like, oh come on, and then he's like, here, do you want to try? And Kathy's gone.
Kathy's gone. Ruby's gone. But Claire's like, sure. Claire's like,
can I
no,
do the other
I want,
leg?
Claire's like, you know what? I want to learn how to do this. I want to learn how. This is something she keeps saying throughout, as soon as Gabriel comes into the picture. It's like, no, I don't want you to help me do this. I want you to tell me how to do this myself. Because right. I want to be able to have my own agency over what gets done. I want to be able to protect myself.
Right.
I want you to show me how to protect myself.
And
going forward.
And I think that to me, and when I wrote this note, it feel like her attitude made her the most mobster out of the three women. And I felt that's very because of her past, because mm-hmm. of being in that abusive relationship. So my whole mindset in this movie was, okay, how long before Claire tips the scales on the other two and just tries to take the other and just tries to take everything over? So that's how my mindset was watching her. I'm like, okay, Claire is going to tip the scales. And it's interesting for how the movie evolved, because it took me right out of left field on where they actually developed it. I actually
didn't see Claire as the one who is taking over, because I thought Claire was pretty much, like, she was the muscle.
Right.
Of the group. Kathy was the community person. And Ruby, I mean, I get what she was coming from. I get what she was trying to do. And it's not to say that she didn't have a point, but, you know, that at some point, you know, she started, you know, having more of an attitude towards the people that they were working with.
Right.
And she was at a certain point she started getting more secretive about certain things and
right.
not communicating to the other two what she was doing. And I feel like that's what started driving the wedge when I think things started getting out of hand when she started not communicating with the other two women what was going on.
Right. And I noticed something was starting to get up, and I wasn't sure exactly how, because my mind was still focused on it, a lot of stuff being Claire.
Mm-hmm.
But once I saw her take the panel off the pool table and start putting money into the pool table, I'm like, okay, she's hoarding money for some reason, and that's going to come back to bite her. I don't know why she's hoarding money,
mm-hmm.
but some red flags started to go off in my mind.
Yeah.
But, you know, before we even get to that, I liked the fact that, because I thought we were going to go through this whole movie without seeing the husbands again. I think the Italians dropping the bombshell that their husbands are coming out in 4 months was a pretty good scene.
Yeah. Yeah. And I liked that the Italians decided that it would be more beneficial for them to work together.
Right.
than to go to war with each other. And right. especially when Coretti's wife was like, "No, you go, girls, you go, you do this."
Yeah.
Good for you.
I wish we could have seen more of her somehow.
Yeah,
in this movie,
too.
I think she had a lot of stuff that could have been explored. Uh-huh. Ruby took care of the mother-in-law problem. did anybody really even think that she was going to take her out to dinner? I didn't. I mean, I kind of saw that coming.
I don't know. I think that's why I thought things started to go a bit south. It's like when she started killing people, that when she started taking her revenge on people, I think that's when things started you know, going a bit sideways.
Yeah. So they all get contracts taken out on them, mm-hmm. because, you know, was it 25 grand apiece, you know, for each of the ladies, and Ruby just says, "I'll give you 100 grand to kill, you know, these people, and then another 100 grand if you take out the last two husbands."
And Kathy doesn't want to do that because her husband wasn't involved at that point.
Right. So take out Kathy's husbands as well as Ruby's husband.
Mm-hmm.
Because Claire already took care of her husband.
Well, I mean, he came
right.
He came back and started hitting her again, and she finally had enough.
Right, and she shot him, and then she mm-hmm. chopped him up the way Gabriel showed her, and then uh-huh. slid her down the river because the river's always been good to them.
Yep.
So
yeah,
just make sure you take all the air out of the lungs.
Yes.
but that was interesting, and then eventually the husbands all die.
Yeah.
In this movie.
Because Kathy's husband eventually tried to make a deal with the Italians, and the Italians being already in business with Kathy called her, and yeah,
and that didn't go over
so, that didn't go so well.
No. I did not see Claire getting killed like that. That one kind of shocked me.
Well, I mean that.
I didn't see it coming.
Yeah, I didn't see it coming either. I almost want to say it's Kathy's fault for not including the 19-year-old in with not letting them kill the 19-year-old, but at the same time, Ruby's the one who escalated that.
Yeah, she had some issues in this movie.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and we see that play out where we find out all along that she was the ringleader behind the whole thing, behind the husbands getting arrested, and I knew she was shady, but dang, I really enjoyed this because I did not see it coming. I thought it was way out on left field. And it caught me off guard, which is good for a movie to be able to take me off guard like that when I think I have the plot figured out. For a movie to come in and say, big boy, you don't know the plot, and here you go.
Right.
So that was really interesting, and her reasoning, I think, was solid reasoning. I just think she went about it the wrong way.
Well, I felt like there should have been a little more communication, but she did have a point. It's like a black woman could not have gotten into a position of power in Hell's Kitchen any other way.
Right.
Especially on the 70s.
Right. So, and she did
what she felt like she had to do, but it resulted in, you know, Claire getting killed. It resulted in, you know, all these unnecessary deaths instead of, you know, just figuring out a way to like take care of the issue without resorting to too much unnecessary violence.
Right, because by the end, Ruby was just, she was straight up killing people, putting hits out on people,
uh-huh.
like all the everywhere.
Oh yeah.
So I did think it was okay. So before we get to anything negative, do you have anything else positive you'd like to say?
I love Melissa McCarthy in this movie. I mean, she was so awesome. I mean, she was tough when she needed to be. She was, she was trying to, hold her community together and trying to survive. And it was just so fabulous to watch her in this role.
Okay.
I know you didn't like her as much in the role.
So this is kind of where we're going to disagree, but that's good. It's good that we disagree, too. We can't always agree on everything. I thought it was an okay movie. I did have some issues, and I have like four listed here. The first one is, mm-hmm, I did not like Melissa McCarthy in this role. I think because every time I look at Melissa McCarthy, I see comedian. And the problem is, and I understand, it's befuddled because of, past movies and shows I've seen her in. I understand that. I just didn't, I didn't like her playing this character. I'm not saying she played it bad. I just didn't like her playing this character.
And let me ask you something then. I mean, have you ever seen some of Robin Williams's more serious roles?
I have seen his more serious roles.
Like, Dead Poets Society or Dead Again or Insomnia.
Right. There are certain actors to me that could do both serious and comedy, and really they balance it well. I felt like she had a tough time balancing the serious.
I didn't see that at all.
But that's just me.
I know, that's just you.
Right. It's probably like the straight minority. I felt like maybe her accent was in and out quite a bit too. Like she didn't keep the Irish accent through the whole movie.
It wasn't necessarily an Irish accent. It was a New York Hell's Kitchen accent. And yeah, when she got mad, it got a little deeper.
Right. So I don't know. I didn't mind her. I thought what she did in the movie was great acting. I thought she performed everything perfectly from the script wise and great. I just didn't like her specifically in that role. But I thought she did. You understand what I mean? I thought she did it well. I just didn't like her in the role. Now who could they have gotten to replace her to do it different? I don't know. I hadn't thought that way out. I hadn't thought that far out yet. Mm. But other than that, I mean, again, she did a great job acting. I just didn't care for her much in the role she was in.
Well, we can disagree.
I don't know. It's all right. It felt unfinished in the end. Like, I understand how they ended it. It was a limited series run, graphic novel. But when they walk out of the store together at the end, I'm like, wait a minute, that was it?
It felt like they had
more to do still. And I'm like, okay, cool, so that was it, okay?
No, because, okay, so they had the split because,
right,
Ruby and Kathy had ended up with two different philosophies. Ruby called Kathy to that store to put a hit out on her.
Right.
Kathy shows up with her family and the union guys behind her, and it's just Ruby and Gabriel. And so it's like, okay, you can either try to kill us all or try to see if you can run the kitchen all by yourself, Ruby, or we can still run it together, but know that you burned your bridges and I don't trust you anymore.
Yeah. I guess I would have just liked to see that dynamic play out a little bit more. Maybe even if they did have a sequel, to see how that. Okay, so whatever happened. Now, I knew that obviously they weren't going to do a sequel, and I understood that from when they were going in a movie.
Yeah.
But like, I wanted to see more dealings with the Jewish people. I wanted to see more dealings with the Italians. I feel like there's a lot of ground and stuff they could have done more with the Italians. I would have loved to see a little bit more of that dug into.
But the Italians aren't in the kitchen.
I understand that.
Because the story is mostly about the kitchen, about Hell's Kitchen, they do have to go out externally for some things, but the meat of the movie is in Hell's Kitchen, and to do more outside with the Italians and that would have taken away from where the movie is centered.
Yeah. Well, you know, again, it was an okay movie. I mean, I'm not killing a movie or anything. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little long. Like, I felt like there were some parts that were just kind of just dragging a little bit. It almost felt like okay, I understand what's going on. It just felt a little long mm-hmm. at some points. I don't know. Ultimately, I finished the movie and I was like, okay, I feel like something's missing. Like, I just felt like something was missing. I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, it, I don't know. I feel like something was missing from it. I don't know if you've ever watched a movie like that. Like, you've watched it and you rewatch it and you're like, okay, what was missing?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think we discussed that. I felt that way about Rise of Skywalker. And I felt like there was like half an hour missing from the movie. And that, it doesn't mean I don't love the movie, but still, there's like half an hour that is like where's the other hour, half hour of this movie?
Right. It just and that's what I mean. I just felt like something was missing in this movie. Like there was just something
I just find it fascinating that you're saying that it's both too long, but that there's something missing.
Right. I feel like it was weird.
It was too long.
Well, I feel like it was too long, and the parts that I think were very redundant or they could have skimmed over, they could have put what I felt was missing in those parts and made it, and it would have been fine to me. That's what I mean.
Ah, okay.
So, they could have taken out, like, I put it in here, like, maybe about 20 minutes. Like, they could have put the 20 minutes of something I felt like was missing, put it in those spots, and it wouldn't have been too long to me. It would have been fine. But I don't know. I enjoyed the movie. It was an okay. I mean, if I had to rate this 1 out of 10, you know, however we wanted to rate it, you know, cutting people up in baths or whatever we want to say, to me, it's about a 6.5 out of 10, 6.5 to 7 out of 10. So it's not bad. I just had some things that kind of were there. Again, I think the biggest things out of my gripes that I had was Melissa McCarthy, and then I just felt like something was missing. Like I was waiting for something. Big to happen. Like I was waiting for her, like I was waiting for Ruby to go back to the pool table and pull the money out for some reason, maybe get caught with it by maybe Kathy or somebody else, you know, maybe like if Claire had walked in on her with all that money hidden, that could have been Ruby having to kill Claire in the movie rather than how the hit went down. To me, that would have been an interesting twist. But it was a good movie, so...
Okay, cool.
I mean...
Well, I'm going to give it an 8.
It's a lot better than some of the movies we've watched on Caped Chronicles, probably.
Hey, now. Some of those movies... I happen to like some of those movies you didn't like on Caped Chronicles.
Well, is it better than Howard the Duck, even though we didn't watch Howard the Duck?
This is better than Howard the Duck, yes.
Actually, everything's probably better than Howard the Duck.
Lots of things are better than Howard the Duck.
I liked this one better than the 1984 Supergirl.
Okay, there we go.
Yeah. So we got it.
Yeah,
there.
I'm actually gonna give this about an 8.
Okay.
Yeah, I really like this movie. This is my second time watching it, and it's fabulous.
We're not too far off. Mine's about 6.5, 7. You're an 8, so that's not too bad. But yeah, I mean, it was a good movie. So, anything else about this movie?
I don't think so.
All right. Well, listen, I encourage you to go check it out. Here's the thing, just kind of a disclaimer. Don't watch with your children.
No.
Besides the language and the bloody violence. So don't watch with your children. And at least let me go play the piano with a random person if you have to watch it. And don't watch that at work either.
No.
No. No. So the privacy of your own home, watch it on streaming, however you want to watch it, huddled in a closet somewhere. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
but yeah. So, I don't know when we're ever going to get to the losers. We'll get there eventually. We may watch it. It's another Vertigo Comics movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to it eventually. But
yeah, maybe.
Anything else you want to leave our adoring fans, Carrie?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm going to go down some more cough medicine and
go to bed.
Crash.
Sweet. Well, I'm going to go crash too myself. So,
okay.
Listen, this is
no injuries while you're crashing.
No injuries. None. This has been DC Talk, episode 85. I am Mike.
I'm Carrie.
And we'll see you next time on DC Talk.